Hi, I'm Philip Battle from SSDI. Welcome back to our annual podcast series. If you haven't tuned in before, every year we conduct a series of interviews with the previous year's winners of the SSDI Excellence in TBET Awards. The most recent awards were presented at our annual conference back in October. Now, when we launched the award program, we hoped they could be used to draw attention to organizations and initiatives from around the country that have made a demonstrable impact in their states and regions and could offer some lessons for technology-based initiatives in other regions. And so as part of that effort, we'll be posting these interviews over the next few weeks in which we discuss the innovative models and lessons that learned that these organizations represent. And to kick off our 2013 series, we're honored to have Wayne Bars, Manager of Entrepreneurial Services for Ben Franklin Tech Ventures, which won last year in our Building Entrepreneurial Capacity category. Thank you so much for joining us, Wayne.
Thank you, Philip. It's really nice to be a part of this.
Well, we appreciate it. So with 30 years of history between Tech Ventures and its predecessor organizations and major expansions over the past decade, it's obvious people really believe in the work you're doing. Could you give us, for our listeners, a brief overview of Tech Ventures and the services you provide?
Absolutely. Tech Ventures is about a 107,000 square foot facility. It's located in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on the campus of Lehigh University. It's owned, the building is owned by Ben Franklin Technology Partners of Northeastern PA. And as you said, the incubator has been in operation for 30 years. We started in a 10,000 square foot building back in 1983 and then expanded to about a 60,000 square foot building in 2007 and then added on to the building, giving us the 107,000 square feet total. The kinds of services that we provide to companies include direct mentoring of the entrepreneurs. Like most incubators, you know, the vast majority of our entrepreneurs are first-time founders, and so we have a much better expectation of what's going to come next for their business, and so we can anticipate some of the pitfalls and try to help guide them over it. A big part of that help is through a large network of outside advisors. After 30 years of doing this and just lots of great companies, we've got former entrepreneurs and just all sorts of advisors around that can really help companies. And part of our job is knowing who to reach out to for specific kinds of help. We also provide direct investment. The Ben Franklin Technology Partners provides up to $100,000 investment in our companies. And then within the incubator itself, incubator clients have access to just a steady flow of people in and out of the building. Angel capital groups, for instance, there's a local angel group that meets here on a monthly basis. The local tech meetup group meets here on a monthly basis, usually brings 50 or 60 people to the building. We have monthly, generally known as lunch and learn type sessions. We call them investment and knowledge sessions, where all the founders get together. We provide a CEO welcome to the new founder type group, where I'll select four or five existing founders and a graduate founder, and just have a kind of a long lunch with the new founders as they move in, just to sort of deepen their relationships here. So really try to surround our companies with help and mentoring and investment.
Yeah, that sounds like a really expansive suite of services. The network you were talking about, that's the Ben Franklin Solutions Network?
Correct. That's how we refer to it.
Okay. And who do you draw in to be a part of that?
Well, maybe it's because we've been at this so long, but, people find us. And so I mentioned cashed-out entrepreneurs. So there are founders, not just that we were involved with, but really anywhere in eastern Pennsylvania and New Jersey. The Ben Franklin program's been around so long and had success that people find us that want to be around these early stage companies. And so there are potential management team people that we're meeting, just general service providers, attorneys and accountants. This morning I have a new client moving in, literally, and we were having the conversation. I hit our database. He was looking for a reimbursement strategist, and we happened to have a few in our database, so I sent the connecting email off. So you name it, marketing, salespeople. I mean, if there's one thing our founders are missing, it's usually sales process, you know, knowledge and experience. And so we really are proactive in trying to find people that are good at sales. So it's, you know, it's a wide range of people that provide both pro bono time as well as, you know, consulting, straightforward consulting engagements.
Well, I mean, when you say that they're, you've been around a while and they know about you, and those people who function within that network, they come to you in a lot of cases. So is that, it sounds like you're really very much a part of the entrepreneurial community in your region. Is that just a function of time? How do you reach out to really foster a community like that that can draw people in, that can get buy-in from former entrepreneurs, from attorneys, from those sort of people?
I think part of it is definitely a function of longevity, for sure. You know, I would say that there's eight of us on the staff here that we refer to internally. We refer to ourselves as the portfolio group. We're the people that are working directly with the founders, bringing them into our process, connecting them to our network. And you know, I think my experience, I mean, I've been in economic development, you know, in and around economic development organizations for 25 plus years. And there's a different attitude here among these people. It's kind of strange. There is a very proactive, aggressive kind of an effort on our part to help the companies. And I think that has helped a great deal. I know from talking to founders that have talked to other related kinds of groups, I get that feedback from them often. So I think that, you know, that reputation has helped. You know, certainly being a source of funding never hurts either.
Right.
That is probably the thing that the founders are always looking for first. But then, as they start to check around with other people, hey, do you know these guys at Ben Franklin up at Tech Ventures? I think that the reputation is reinforced. Then,
are they required to be tenants in order to be eligible for the fund?
No. So this always takes a little explanation. Ben Franklin Technology Partners of Northeast PA is one of four nonprofits in Pennsylvania that receive funding from the state each year to fulfill this mission. So Ben Franklin Technology Partners of Northeast is one of four. We cover Northeast PA. There's a Ben Franklin in Philadelphia. There's one in State College where Penn State is. And then there's also one out in Pittsburgh. And so we cover 21 counties, and a company that fits our profile, early stage tech-oriented company, anywhere in those 21 counties can get all of the assistance that we provide. I often think of us as organizationally as an incubator without walls. But the center of the organization really tends to be located here. I mean, this is where the vast majority of the staff is here in Bethlehem, here at Tech Ventures. And when somebody walks in the door here to the building, I mean, it's such a physical representation of what we do and sort of how we operate, that I think a lot of people think of us as the incubator. But in fact, the incubator, the physical incubator, is really just part of our overall region-wide mission.
Well, for tenants and non-tenants, where do you draw most of those client companies from? Or do you work closely with universities, particular universities, or is it come one, come all?
It's come one, come all.
Okay.
And, you know, for the incubator here specifically, with the new company that's moving in today, I think he's going to be our 125th company.
Wow.
Historically.
Oh.
And probably, you know, only a dozen of those have been directly university-related, either student teams or faculty-led companies. most of our founders are finding us, you know, because they're starting up and they're connected to attorneys or other resource providers, service providers that suggest that they come here. And plus, we do a fair amount of public relations. And, you know, we really tell our story through the story of our companies. And so, you know, whenever there's a tech-oriented headline in the newspaper, it's, you know, probably somebody that we've been involved with. Now, recently, Lehigh has actually taken rented a few offices from us. And Lehigh, in particular, has done a terrific job of creating an entrepreneurial program here, both at the undergraduate and graduate level. And so now they've got an awards program every year, and one of the prizes is space here in the incubator student companies. And then we spend time making sure that they're interacting, you know, as if they were a full-fledged incubator company.
Sure. So they rent the space from you, but then offer it to the award winners?
Correct.
That space? Wow.
Correct.
How about metrics? I mean, we're always in a discussion here. It comes up at all of our conferences and most of these calls. But what are you using that you really use as a gauge of your own success?
Well, it's job creation.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, a really, if you had to assign a weight to it, that's probably 70% of what's important to us. You know, obviously, being able to obtain additional capital, being able to generate a growing revenue stream, that matters too. Of course, that feeds the job creation, typically. Those are the metrics. I mean, we don't really measure. I really don't have any idea, for instance, how many companies I sort of consult with every year that I provide direction to. Cold call comes in, and I'll spend 45 minutes on the phone with a founder that I can tell, you know, I can tell in 30 seconds that this is not a fit for us, but, you know, always happy to try to connect them to resources out there, but we don't count those. That sort of activity, just general activity, isn't counted. It's a very results-oriented organization.
But as an incubator without walls, as an incubator that reaches out in the community beyond your direct tenants, how do you measure something like job creation? Do you stay in touch with those companies that you may just
Yeah. Have? Yeah, our reporting mechanism is we're required by the state to follow up with companies that we've invested in or that we've even just helped for up to 5 years following the end of our engagement with them.
And that's tenants and non-tenants?
Tenants and non-tenants, correct. So each calendar year-wise, toward the end of the year, we send all of those companies what we call an impact survey, and it inquires about all of those things, job creation and capital raised and revenue growth, as well as some other things about, you know, have you developed any new processes? Because we also do a little bit of work with established manufacturing businesses in our region. If there's, you know, it can be a large, 1,000 employee, 100-year-old company, if they're going to be doing some industrial engineering on the shop floor to try to be more productive, and they're going to engage with a university based center or resource to do that, we can help provide a little bit of the funding match on that. So we do count. For those, we get some job retention credit as well, right? So that is one of the other things that we measure, job retention. So as we work with all of those companies in our portfolio, when we're sort of finished working with them, we still have to ask them for this information for up to 5 years after that.
Okay. Well, finally, so what lessons have we asked everybody on the podcast about lessons they've learned along the way, readjustments their organization has made that they might not expect, lessons that might be helpful for other organizations that are similar out there trying to make a difference in their entrepreneurial community?
Well, yeah. I think for organizations that are working with early stage companies, I don't think there's any replacement for, you know, spending a tremendous amount of time directly with the company. I mean, I think having the incubator here, my office here has two doors on it. There's a door off of the main lobby and a door sort of off of the side there. And both of those doors are open most of the time. And it's a pretty steady flow of the companies in here that are looking for help and direction and advice. And we do that. We provide all of that in as objective a manner as possible. I'm aware of some programs, you know, out there that if you're an attorney in the town and you're going to sponsor that incubator or that program, we'll funnel all the activity to you. So every legal question that comes up, we're sort of sending them to that particular attorney. For us here, we take a completely different approach to it. If you need an IP attorney, and if it's a chemical, you know, a new chemical entity that they're developing, I mean, we look for three or four IP attorneys that have experience in that industry, and we send them to the client and say, here's links and bios or LinkedIn pages for the four people we think you ought to consider. The client will pick one, and then we'll go to lunch and figure out whether there's, you know, whether there's a good fit there between the client and that service provider. And if they don't like them, then we move on to number two. Because if the client isn't buying what the service provider is selling, nobody's going to move ahead. And so we really try to stay directly in touch with our clients, understand what their, you know, what their issues are, and try to stay ahead of them. But try to address their specific issues rather than provide services in a shotgun manner. We try to provide very direct and targeted services to the specific needs of the company.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, Wayne. We really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed it. Nothing I like better than listening to myself talk anyway, so this was great for me too.
Well, here. If our listeners would like to learn more about Tech Ventures, they can visit the website at bftechventures.org. And to learn more about our awards program, including how to apply for the 2013 awards, visit sstiawards.org.